Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation, Text Number 18. Atmanam Prakritishu Ada Nidaya Shreya Apnuyat Pragya Tata Prakritayo Naradeva Ahita Adaya Atmanam Prakriti Atmana Prakriti Shvada Nidaya Shreya Apnuya Ragya tata prakritayo Naradeva hitadayaha Atmanam himself Prakritishu under the seven royal elements Ada directly Nidaya placing Shreya, ultimate happiness. Apnuyat, may obtain. Pragya, by the king. Tata, so also. Prakritayaha, the dependent royal elements. Naradeva, O king. Ahita adaya, offering wealth and other items. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, O Lord of humanity, when a king directly depends upon his associates and follows their instructions, he is happy. Similarly, when his associates offer their gifts and activities to the king and follow his orders, they are also happy. Purport, the actual happiness of a king and his dependence is described in this verse. The king should not simply give orders to his dependents because he is supreme. Sometimes he must follow their instructions. Similarly, the dependents should depend on the king. This mutual dependence will make everyone happy. I'll just keep on reading. O king, are your wives, citizens, secretaries, and servants, and the merchants who sell spices and oil under your control? Are you also in full control of ministers, the inhabitants of your palace, your provincial governors, your sons, and your other dependents? Purport, the master, a king, and his subordinates should be interdependent. Through cooperation, both of them can be happy. Text 20. If the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him. His provincial governors present taxes on time without resistance, and what to speak of lesser servants. Purport, Angira Rishi asked the king whether his mind was also under control. It is most essential for happiness. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Gauravani Pujarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Udrad Atmanatmanam Atmanamam Vasalaya Atmaiva Yatno Bandur Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha Bandur Adyatmanas Tasya Yenaiva Atmatmana Jita Atmatmanastu Shatruve Varte Tatmaiva Shatruva. That a person, he has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself, for the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Chitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita. Shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pramanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached because he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Human life is meant to conquer the mind. The mind, if it's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be the best friend. But the mind, when it's not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, will naturally be absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. And to conquer the mind, one must develop his intelligence. Therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is called Buddhi Yoga. Just like, for instance, if one has a car and he gets into the car, but he doesn't control the car, then he's in a very difficult situation, very dangerous situation. Similarly, when the living entity obtains material body, especially the human form of life, it is his duty to learn how to drive properly. For instance, in every state, every government, there are certain rules and regulations. Keep to the left or keep to the right. Drive in a certain lane. You have to have a license to drive, etc. But if someone doesn't follow the rules and regulations, then at once he becomes criminal and is subjected to the laws of the state. Similarly, the law of material nature is that as soon as one gets a human form of life, he must control his mind and senses according to the laws of material nature. And if he doesn't, then at once he becomes a criminal and is subjected to the punishments according to the different types of his activities. So, intelligence is the Shishi Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Kijai Shishi Gornitai Kijai Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Shimati Subhadradevi Kijai. So intelligence is supposed to be that instrument by which the mind and senses are controlled, direct the vehicle. So that intelligence means to understand what is Dharma, what are the laws of material nature, what are the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. The actual laws of religion are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore they must be obeyed. They may be given according to time, place, and circumstance, according to the ability of the individual to follow or in society to follow. But still, everyone, according to their time, place, and circumstance, they have rules and regulations given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to follow. This is called Dharma. And intelligence means to follow those rules and regulations. And ultimately aiming at utilizing the senses and the mind in the service of the Supreme Lord. As soon as one engages in unrestricted sense enjoyment without using his intelligence properly, then he becomes to the level of the animals. Just like, for instance, if the intelligence knows what is Dharma, then one will be acting religiously. But sometimes the intelligence says, for instance, here is a woman that she's married, I should not have any relationships with her. But the mind will say, and the senses will say, but she is very attractive, or he is very attractive, that you should have some relationship. So the mind and senses, they sometimes are independent, or their desires are independent of the intelligence. So it is up to the intelligence to be strong enough to control the mind and senses. But if the intelligence is not so strong, then after some time, due to the agitation of the mind and senses, the intelligence says, all right, I surrender. What do you want me to do? So the mind and senses will tell the intelligence, you don't have to play the bill. So the intelligence, the mind and senses will tell the intelligence, now figure out how to create a relationship
with that man or with that woman. So maybe you should write a note. But if I write a note, then maybe they'll find out who wrote the note. So don't write a note, or at least write a note, but don't sign the note. So the intelligence is used by the mind and senses how to make a plan to gratify the mind and senses. Instead of the intelligence controlling the mind and senses, it becomes an instrument for the mind and senses' gratification. This is the platform of mind and society. Prabhupada describes them as duskritina. They may have some intelligence, but because their intelligence is subordinated by the mind and senses, therefore they're miscreants. They're making elaborate plans for sense gratification. Vatirna Krishnev Parataksato Va Mito Vivadyeta Griha Vratana Adanta Govir Vishutam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvanana. The basic principle of modern society is I am this body, and the goal of life is to gratify the senses. Therefore, under that conception, they are making so many plans, so many arrangements, so many conferences to solve the problems of life, economic, social, political problems. But because they have missed the point that the goal of life was to obtain Krishna, therefore, they are simply driven by the unbridled senses, uncontrolled senses, into enjoying the senses again and again. And therefore, there is no solution to their problems. They are simply creating more problems. Because Natevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu, they don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna, that the function of the intelligence is to utilize the mind and senses in the service of Krishna and therefore purify them. But because they don't know that, because Bahira Artha Manina, they take the material world, material objects of the senses as being the goal of life. To obtain these objects of the senses and to enjoy them, they take that as the goal of life. Because they are andaya tandera upagiyamanas te pisha tantra uru dami bada. They are blind. They have no knowledge because their intelligence has been stolen by illusion. Because of their addiction to sense gratification over a long period of time, their intelligence has diminished and therefore they cannot understand things very easily. They cannot, as Prabhupada said, it will take 500 years for people to understand that they're not their body. They cannot even conceive that there's a difference between themselves and their body. What to speak of understanding anything beyond that. Therefore, those who have eyes, those who can see, it is up to them to explain or to live life in such a way as to go beyond the mundane, gross bodily conception of life and the subtle material mental conception of life and come to the platform of using our intelligence to engage the senses and the mind in service of Krishna according to what Krishna wants, not according to what we want. In other words, there are different levels of devotional service. And on the Kanishtha Adhikari platform, it is actually the material level of consciousness. To utilize the devotional service of Krishna to gratify the mind and senses is some advancement of intelligence, but not much. In other words, as we can see, many devotees, they may come to the Krishna consciousness movement utilizing devotional service to gratify their senses. Chaturvida Bhajante Mam Jnana Srikitina Arjuna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's explained that these four orders of life in the Vanashram system, the Shudras, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmins, they have some material desire. The Shudras, they're always in distress due to the mode of ignorance. And therefore, they come to devotional service in order to free themselves from distress. My dear Lord, please, I'm suffering, please make me happy, free me from my disease or from my discomfort. And the Vaishyas, they're always pressed by economic demands, therefore they come to the Lord asking for some economic security, their artha. And those who are Kshatriyas, they want some proper direction, how to rule, therefore they're inquisitive, to understand things clearly. But above them all, Krishna says, are the Brahmins who are searching for real understanding of things. That they can actually come above the Kanista Adhikari level, they can come to the actual platform of devotional service, which is without material remuneration. Anya bilasita shunya jnana karma yadavrita. That devotional service, real devotional service, means that there is no desire for material sense gratification. It's anya bilasita shunya, without any material desire. And it's jnana karma yadavritam. Although one may perform the activities of cultivation of knowledge, or even different types of activities, but these activities do not cover over the natural feelings of affection for Krishna that the devotee has. And the activities are always favorable to the satisfaction of Krishna with the proper attitude. Jnana karmina anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. That is the definition of real uttama bhakti, of real devotional service. When the mind is actually guided by the intelligence that's connected to Krishna in Krishna consciousness. So that is what we're trying to come to, is purifying the mind by absorbing the mind in the consciousness of Krishna, at least in the beginning in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to live according to that philosophy. And then as one hears that philosophy, understands the philosophy, lives according to the philosophy, then the result is that then one will actually become aware of Krishna. And therefore the other desires, extraneous desires for economic security, for freedom from distress, for trying to understand things properly, and for searching after knowledge, these are automatically, causelessly obtained. And one can act with the basis of trying to please Krishna, rather than trying to please oneself or this body, etc. So everything depends upon development of intelligence and utilizing that intelligence to occupy the mind and the senses in Krishna's service without any extraneous desire. As long as there is some desire, then instead of the intelligence controlling the mind and senses, eventually the intelligence will be overwhelmed by the material desire and be lost, become subordinate to the senses and the mind. So one has to strengthen his intelligence especially by keeping contact with Krishna through chanting the holy name, by trying to associate with Krishna, through the process of devotional service, and in this way get another superior experience by which one will be able to easily become detached from mundane conceptions, mundane desires. That one will become more and more encouraged to give up mental conceptions, mental concoction. Just like, for instance, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, then naturally he won't be very happy. And if he's not happy, then naturally he'll try to find happiness through the senses. Although happiness, trying to find happiness through the senses is not ultimately possible, in the sense that no materialist, no one who's searching for happiness through the senses can ultimately be fully joyful due to the nature of the material existence. But still, if one cannot find happiness in Krishna consciousness, then naturally he'll seek some kind of happiness, some form of happiness, through gross and subtle sense gratification. Therefore, whether one is a king or whoever we are, the whole idea is to regulate the mind by understanding things properly, by seeing things in Krishna consciousness, by seeing things with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, understand how to properly engage the mind and the senses. To understand how one should remain aloof from unwanted thoughts and desires, and how one should apply oneself intelligently in the service of Krishna. What Krishna wants us to do, what Krishna wants us to say, how Krishna wants us to act, what our mood should be. All these things come through developing of devotional intelligence. Following the example of the residents of Vrindavan, or the examples given by the acharyas, the Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Prahlado, Janako, Sambhu. Janako, Bhishmo. That there are 12 Mahajans, they give us instructions how to engage ourselves in devotional service. The residents of Vrindavan, they give us an example. The acharyas within our line of the civil succession show us how to utilize our mind and senses in the service of Krishna, how to properly develop our intelligence, our spiritual intelligence, so that our material desires can be purified and therefore the mind can be conquered. So one has to see that as long as we're not understanding things properly, then the mind will always be trying to drag us down to the material conception of life, to sense gratification, and therefore one will always be disturbed. And the more one gratifies the senses, the more he becomes more and more bewildered and more disturbed. So one has to be careful, especially our process is regulated devotional service. Although coming to the Bhagavatam class or rising early in the morning may not be, in one sense, the most exciting thing to do every day, we may not think, oh, this is... We may not be like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When he saw his Charanamrita, he saw his the river Ganges. We may not taste the prasadam as a new life's experience or see our whole temple or a house turn into Goloka Vrindavan. We may not have that experience directly or immediately, but gradually by bringing the body and eventually bringing the mind to the temple, by engaging ourselves in the regular process of devotional service, then eventually one will make progress. And as one makes progress, then the name, the form, the quality and past sense of Krishna will be gradually revealed to us. And therefore the mind will find its proper engagement, and the proper engagements which will satisfy us. And therefore other types of ideas, other types of thoughts, other types of remembrances will become distasteful. Yada yadavidi mamacheta padara vinde nava nava rasa dhamma yudyata asit. One great king, Jamunacharya, he previously was enjoying unlimited sense gratification, but when he became a devotee of Krishna and could actually remember the pastimes of Krishna constantly, then whenever he thought of his previous experiences in sense gratification, his face would turn in disgust and he would want to spit at the thought. So that comes through coming to the platform of Radha Krishna Gunasmi Dera Madhurima Nandena Samohito, that the six Goswamis, they executed their regulative devotional service, chanting the prescribed number of rounds every day, doing their offering obeisances, etc. And in this way, they became overwhelmingly enchanted by the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and always remained intoxicated on that platform of pure Krishna consciousness. So this we want to come to, and the process is chanting the holy names, coming to the temple regularly, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this way gradually learning how to engage our mind and senses, developing our spiritual intelligence, and therefore conquering the mind and senses. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Yes.
Indra is generally in Maya. And when he's a devotee, you're referring to the fact that Indra, he offended his guru. So, you're referring to some other guru? You mean they went to Vishwarup, and then he was playing both sides. And therefore they decided to do away with him. So it's not very good to kill a Brahmin, and therefore he had to suffer some sinful reaction. But what's the question? The activity of the demigods are the activities of materialists. They're Sakama devotees. They are devotees, but they have some material desire. Therefore, they're in the material conception of life, although they're devotees. Therefore, they're subject to the action and reaction of their activities. Yato Indra Gopama Mahendra Sukho Maho Sudharama Karama Vandana Rupa Vajita Anoti. That from Indra down to the Indra Gopa, they're all suffering the results of their activities. Sukama devotees. Elevated personalities, but still they're in the material conception of life. Therefore, whatever they do in that conception, they get a reaction for, whether it's good or bad. Yes. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. Because for a materialist, part of his happiness is his prestige. If people call him names, then his prestige is diminished. He feels bad. Mental satisfaction. He'd rather hear Jai Indra, Jai Indra, than Indra Boo. The whole material world is superficial. Why should he be any different? Because he's not worried so much. Just like the residents of Vrindavan, they decide to do Indra to stop their Indra Pooj. Now in Delhi, Indra, he has receiving offerings from all over the universe, but he became very upset. He wanted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. So sometimes this is the nature of the material world. It's very superficial. If we think of our own desires, how useless most of them are, material desires, they're just botherations, but still they're very hard to give up. So Indra, he also has desires like that, and they're very difficult to give up. They haunt one just like a ghost. Therefore, just as we're a little ghostly haunted by our material desires, so Indra is also ghostly haunted. Well, we don't want to get rid of our desires. We want to utilize our desires for serving Krishna. So, what Krishna wants us to do, how to utilize our desires, that takes some thoughtfulness. It means we have to analyze things in different perspectives. And generally we have to inquire from different persons. And then when things become clear, then we can find out what Krishna wants us to do. Therefore, one has to begin trying to understand things in a humble way and not expect that immediately the answer is going to be there. One may have to go through some austerity, some searching, some investigation, and then in a humble way, then eventually when the answer is there, then one will know what to do. And if he acts after that search, after that humble investigation, then he'll be able to do the right thing. But if one acts in the mode of passion, or if he doesn't act, then he'll get the results in the mode of ignorance of passion rather than the transcendental result. So, for the most part, Prabhupada has tried to make it easy. Rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds a day at least, follow 4 of the principles, etc. So, he's given us so many instructions. So, for the most part, we don't have to speculate so much or go through intensive investigation. But sometimes we do. Sometimes when we have a number of choices to make, at least then we have to investigate and try and understand things. Therefore, there's Guru Sadhana Shastra to help us. Yes. No, when the mind is in Krishna consciousness, we don't have to control. That is controlling it. If we're engaging ourselves in the process of devotional service, that means their mind is the friend. Therefore, apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadva tava kamiyam pravishanti sarvesha shanti noti nakama kami. The person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So it's not within our control whether the mind will be, whether the desires will flow through the mind or not. But it is within our control whether or not we become attached to them. If we engage ourselves in the activities of devotional service, especially by hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we have an alternative. Then instead of becoming attached to the desires and the thoughts of the mind, then we can instead try and become attached to Krishna. But as soon as we stop engagement in devotional service, then we have no other alternative but to become attached to some idea of the mind, some mental conception. So the idea is, just like when the river is very full, then although different rivers may enter into it, then the ocean doesn't become disturbed. So similarly, if the mind is full of Krishna thoughts about Krishna, then although some ideas may enter into the mind, one will not become disturbed by them. Therefore, the idea is to think of Krishna, hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, engage in service to Krishna, remain in Krishna consciousness, and although the ideas may come to the mind, into the mind, we won't become disturbed by them. But if we don't hear and chant nicely, if we don't get a taste for doing that, then naturally we'll have no alternative but to gratify the ideas or serve the ideas of the mind. therefore the only alternative is to hear and chant nicely and remember Krishna nicely. Yes. Profit, adoration, distinction. In any case, there may be so many anarthas that are described, for instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, pratishta, desire for false prestige, puja, the desire for worship, desire for position, the desire for ahimsa, jiva hingsa, hurting other living entities. There may be different types of anarthas like that that have to be given up. But one has to chant the holy name, one has to serve Krishna, one has to remember Krishna. Then it's possible to see these things. Unless we're in Krishna consciousness, these things are not very clear to us. But we have an ocean of, we've been here in the material world since time immemorial, there are so many desires we have. As soon as we try to grab one of them, there'll be 100,000 other ones that get away from us. So the solution is to engage oneself in the activities of devotional service, and gradually, one by one, these desires will be revealed, the real face of these desires will be revealed, and if we're actually in Krishna consciousness, we won't become attached to them. We'll simply let them go on their way. We won't take them so seriously. Yes. First of all, we have to understand what Krishna wants us to do. Yes, but he makes many things clear. But they're not always the same. So we have to find out. We know, basically, what Krishna wants us to do. He wants us to love him. And if we actually make an effort towards loving him, to remembering him, and to giving our love to him, then everything else becomes easy after that. And if we don't do that, then everything becomes very difficult. Therefore, we should think of our spiritual master, we should think of his instructions, and we should pray to the ability, to Guru and Krishna, for the ability to follow those instructions. And if they give us the strength, then it becomes easy. If we don't, if they don't, then it becomes impossible. So Prabhupada writes, 1856, one should think that I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him. Then one will naturally be able to think of Krishna, and that's perfect Krishna consciousness. That one should have no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So if we're thinking like that, then things will become easier. And if we don't think like that, then it becomes very, very difficult. And to understand what Krishna wants, we have to carefully understand things through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And when things are clearer, when we understand, then we should think, I'm doing this just to please Krishna. And if we remember Krishna, then everything is very easy. Yes.
You were saying that someone cannot attain spiritual happiness, then use the happiness of senses and their beginners. So
There must be some spiritual happiness, otherwise why are we here? If one is not deriving any, in other words, happiness is a long range of experience. The beginning is, as soon as one chants Hare Krishna, at least, he becomes free from anxiety. He becomes a little bit more peaceful. One takes prasadam, he becomes a little bit more satisfied. He hears about Krishna, he becomes a little bit more enlightened. So there is, even at the beginning, there's a superior quality to devotional service, which keeps one enthused to go on with the process. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that as one advances in devotional service, the path becomes progressively clearer and more encouraging. So at the beginning, it's clearer and more encouraging than our previous life, and it keeps on doing it, progressing on that way. It's not that at the beginning one may necessarily roll on the ground in ecstasy, but it was superior to his previous existence. Therefore, that encourages him to go on. And generally, Krishna always is constantly encouraging the devotee by different types of experience. And although sometimes he gives the thunderbolt or the club, he also gives the lotus flower sometimes. He gives us the thunderbolt or the club to correct our bad habits, and then he gives us the lotus flower to encourage us. Yes. Doesn't make any difference. No, it's not necessarily like that. Just do something for Krishna. The real test is how much you're doing it for Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. Whether you do a lot of things for Krishna or one thing for Krishna, the point is it should be for Krishna, and it should be in Krishna consciousness. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.